This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. If you are booking your vacation and you don't want to lug that thing around, and you know what I'm talking about, that stroller. I just did it. I just got back from a trip. I had to extend it for 2 days, and no problem. Very little more money to extend my strollers. I rented two. I rented a double city mini and the city mini, like the deluxe size for Riker. It was awesome. Go to their website, kingdomstrollers.com. Tell them you heard about it right here on WDW Today. It helps us out. And again, book it. It's awesome. It's easy, simple. Tell them where you're staying. They come, they pick it up, they call you if they need you. Great people over there. They actually, I was supposed to get it the next morning and they brought it the night before. That's how good they were at Kingdom Strollers. The day I booked, it showed up at the house. So boom, kingdomstrollers.com. And now, on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, January 11th, 2017, and this is episode 1546 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And we are today going to give you a little insight. I just got back from a trip to Florida. Thank you guys for giving us that week off. Had some family stuff happen. I'm not going to be a downer here on today's show, but I appreciate all the tweets and support you guys sent. But while I was there in Florida, I had only 2 days I could do parks. So we decided to get with some friends and do a VIP tour of both Disney and Universal, private VIP tours. And thankfully for Disney, this was during the off season technically, so the prices were a little bit lower. Universal's VIP tour actually clocked in at more money if you included park admission and all of that. So it was pretty interesting to see. I did both, and I'm happy to give my reviews. But you guys have any thoughts or questions up front?
Well, I just had a question based on the way you phrased that.
Yeah.
So if you were doing one of these VIP tours, park admission was not included.
No. So it was not included at either Universal or Disney. I had everyone who was on my tour had an AP except for one, and they actually did comp her ticket. So I can say Disney was like, you know what? They got a ticket. Disney's on. Because I emailed the night before. I said, hey, I forgot one person joining us doesn't have a ticket. Can you arrange that? And then when we got there, they had the ticket set up. So that being said, yeah. So they're not
included. But the rest were annual pass.
Right. If everyone was like that, they weren't going to do that. That was a special situation, and it was more easy for them to give us a comp ticket than to even worry about getting the credit card and figuring all that. So that was that situation there. And same with Universal, they set up my admission when I bought the tickets, or when I bought my VIP tour. They said how many tickets you need, and they came and they gave you the tickets. So it was very different experiences, positives and negatives to both. But I'm happy to field some questions. I don't want to feel like I'm talking. So if you guys are thinking of VIP tour costs, depending on where you're going, Universal did it for up to 5 people without charging you more. And at the time, it came out to be about, it was expensive. That one came out to be roughly $3,000 would have been the retail cost of it without park admission.
Jeez.
Per person, more than that, the 5 was $50 per person. So
you get 5 regardless, but there are flat costs.
Right. So,
and this is Universal.
This is Universal. Then Disney was $400 an hour for a minimum of 7 hours up to 12 hours. So pretty much you play that game how you want.
So you decide if you want to do 7 hours, you hit your wall and you're like, we're done.
Goodbye.
Do you have to upfront request the time amount?
Okay. No. Okay. So what happened? I actually went about 9 hours with our tour guide. So it was an extra $800. So it was a lot of money. And
is there a cap on people for that one?
Up to 10.
Okay.
So we had a bigger group. So when you actually split it up, when you split up, because that one ended up costing about with the extra hours, ended up getting close to $3,000. When you break that up over 10 people, if the benefit is there, it's not that bad.
Especially if you're an AP holder.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We weren't paying for admission.
Right.
So, but that's only if the benefit is there. And that's where I think we'll keep going. So,
well, I did want to kind of say who is this for? Because like you're saying, there's the benefit there. What I do think that maybe let's start with this question and then I think maybe give your experience okay. of what it was like. But who is the who do you think this is for? Because you kind of tease it with that
yeah.
the benefit thing.
Okay, so the Disney's major benefit, to me the number one benefit of the entire experience was, and we had I'd say both of them, Brandon over at Disney and we had Dustin at Universal, both were great tour guides. They did everything they could to make it great. Disney, the perks are different style. So for us, the big thing, because I was with all my kids plus some other adults.
And you decided to take, by all your kids, you have babies.
All three. And they right. included the babies. Universal and Disney both included the babies, even though they're not park admission. It's people or people. And even if they're not paid admission people.
Okay.
So the biggest perk that Disney offers to me was transportation. So we were staying offsite. They would have picked us up from our hotel or house. It was a house offsite, 20 minutes away, and started our tour at that point. Like we wouldn't even have had to have driven into the parks. They would have taken care of that. We had breakfast at Art of Animation. So we ended up having to pick us up at Art of Animation. So at Art of Animation, they pick us up. The biggest benefit to that was transportation. No lines, no security, no. All you did was load up into a van. They had car seats for the girls.
I was about to ask. Say you have
this was
that need to be in car seats.
Yeah. Is a mini? They went from like a sedan minivan, and then up to like a
15
passenger. I was like, we were in a 15 passenger van.
Is it cheaper for a party of two, or is it the same price?
Same price, flat. You decide, and that's true Universal as well. The price doesn't change unless you go over. Now, Disney's is – now, Universal is up to, I think, 12 people with those negligible like $50, $50, $50. Yeah. Disney is if you go to 11 people, it's double.
Gotcha. Like 10 is it. You're buying a whole extra tour.
You're getting another tour guide. You're getting two tour guides if you're at 11 people. So you really have to stick to it. So the transportation was awesome. So for we start off at the Magic Kingdom. They got us a reservation at Be Our Guest, which, again, they hooked that up. So that's a perk. They got us the reservation. The experience of getting to Magic Kingdom was driving all the way. Now, if you're one of those people that doesn't want to break the magic, it breaks the magic. You're backstage in the nitty-gritty. Like, you are backstage. You pull up in behind where, if you've ever been to, like, that random crosswalk, sometimes they'll open between, I think it's Tomorrowland and Main Street, usually to get people out. Behind there is where you'll park your car right there. They give you some bottles of water. They scan your tickets, and then you move on into the park. This is where I think it changes is if you go at the right time, I think this VIP tour could be incredible. But because we went at a very, very busy time, which is why we decided—
This was marathon week, right?
Marathon weekend, right after New Year's. I was expecting a big crowd. Part of the reason we decided to do the VIP tour was, okay, we'll be able to get a lot done. Mm-hmm. With Disney, that didn't necessarily end up being the case. They can't, other than very specific attractions, they don't have any special access to the lines except for you are able to enter the Fastpass line at each attraction. So it's not like you're getting on a back door. The Haunted Mansion was the only exception for that. And we did get a lot done. But do I think we got more done than we would have without the tour guide? Not financially.
Right.
Not from that perspective.
And that's what's interesting when the parks are incredibly crowded. Fastpass becomes...
incredibly crowded, right?
Yeah, what kind of waits are we talking about here?
You know, I mean, I don't think we ever waited more than 15 or 20 minutes. But in the back of your head, you're like, I'm spending all this money,
and you're waiting 15 minutes with babies.
Very long lines at certain attractions. Like it was still a very long line for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Now, if we'd gone 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, it has shortened up. So I wish there was a little bit more conversation between Disney and the tour guide and planning that all out. Because great guy, great tour guide. He's been to every Disney resort, every Disney park around the world in the last year. Been with the company for almost 10 years. Again, really like the guy, and he did a great job. But like, I abandoned ship on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and that's what everyone wanted to do it. And I was like, I'm not waiting out here in the heat. Because it was actually a hot day. Mm-hmm. For what looked to be 30, 45 minute wait, at least in a fast pass. And that was kind of the concern. So much so I went to Pooh. Pooh was 15, 20 minutes. Same thing for like, so we left, we did Magic Kingdom. I'll go through what we did.
Yeah.
We got to do.
Is this Park Hopper too?
This is Park Hoppers.
Okay. So your tour guide, if you all of a sudden are like, Let's go over to...
Yes, you go.
Is there a car, that car involved?
The car is involved, yes. Well, we'll get there.
Okay, sorry. So at, jumping ahead,
at 10 o'clock, we start this tour at 10 o'clock in the morning, by the way, so I'll kind of get you where. So from 10 to around probably 3, we're in the Magic Kingdom. An hour of that, we, pretty much we walk in, we immediately do Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger spins, what Riker wanted to do. We did it, knocked it out. He loved it. Great. And that wait was, the Fast Pass was outside. It had backed up that
much.
Gosh. So it, now that ride is fast moving. So it was only probably 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. But you can imagine how that looks.
Also, psychologically, you're like, okay, I'm in
this. I usually walk right up.
And you're putting me in this line.
Right. So then immediately following that, we went to lunch at Be Our Guest because we had a reservation at 11 o'clock. So by the time, I mean, by the time you get from Art of Animation backstage to Magic Kingdom, even without checking in and all that, you know, that took us about half an hour. Did Buzz, took about 15 minutes. It was right around 11. Because we didn't pre-select our food options, which they should have probably told us to do when they booked us to Be Our Guest, because they didn't, we waited a pretty extensive amount of time to order at Be Our Guest because it's a walk up. And
if you don't pre-order at Be Our Guest, it feels like days.
The line is crazy. The food didn't take long to get. Once we ordered, it was minutes.
Once they give you the rose, it's good. But
yeah, it's now your Magic Band now.
Oh.
So they don't do that. They will do the rose if you don't have a band, but most of the time it is just your magic. It's on your Magic Band, and it was fine. You know, and the food is good there. I enjoyed it. Obviously, it's that third or fourth time I've been there.
I was asking, is that your first time?
No, I've been multiple times. I've never eaten in this. I think it's, I don't know if the gallery. It's like the room to the right when you walk in. So,
the overflow.
Yeah,
they, least
and,
themed room.
And they had not opened it up, so they actually opened it up for us, and then they opened it up for everyone else. But so that was a nice little perk because we got to eat in kind of quiet. At Be Our Guest, almost our own private little area. So that was cool. And then more people would come in as it went on. We, after that, we moved over to, we did the Barnstormer. We did under that, we did Little Mermaid, Barnstormer. And then that's when we went to get in line at Seven Dwarves, Abandoned Ship, did Winnie the Pooh, and Haunted Mansion. And then I think that's where we called that day. Now, Haunted Mansion, he was able to. We walked in the exit, and we got to the stretching room. As soon as we were out of the stretching room, we went straight. There's like, if you go straight, there's a door instead of taking a left and heading towards the line. They got us, put us on in the exit of Haunted Mansion, which was fun because you have to, you know, go through the back. But that's the kind of experience that should have been for every attraction if I'm paying this amount of money.
That used to be the experience.
He said there are three levels of lines, and pretty much you can no longer pay for the top level, two levels of lines. You have to be a celebrity or something like that.
Which just kind of seems like, were that many people doing it that it became a problem? To me, it just seems like,
why can't
they do
it? I mean, he would wave to a tour guide every so often. Exactly. I don't think there's a reason they can't. I think it's just a way of simplifying this. And look, if I went during a medium to quiet time, you could knock out the entire park in probably a couple hours if you had immediate access to FastPass. It's just, this should be when I need it. And it just really...
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like...
But I also feel like I could do that in general.
If you're able to pick up fast passes because it's a down time, that's not that hard to...
Yeah.
That just takes a little bit of planning on your part instead of just walking in.
Yeah, so following that, I kind of like... It was crazy busy at Magic Kingdom. I was getting frustrated. We were all getting tired. I said, I'm calling this right now. We're headed to Epcot. So we...
Always a wise choice.
We walked backstage again, hopped in the car. They drove us right back. We wanted to do Soarin'. So what he did was actually park us at the behind of the Land Pavilion. We walked into the bottom floor of the Land Pavilion right by Soarin', did Soarin', got back in the car, and he drove us over to Spaceship Earth.
Oh.
I believe that's right. I believe we got, yeah. And when we, or maybe
so
we just
like
walked
front entrance,
the
yeah.
And did Spaceship Earth with a 10-minute wait again. I mean, like.
For Spaceship Earth.
Right? 10 to 15-minute wait.
The regular line, because 45 to spend a day.
Yeah.
I was in Florida at the beach and came over for a day. And Spaceship Earth was like a 45 or 50
it
minute
was
wait.
Like 45, yeah, I think. And then we did, where it came benefit is for Soarin', we fast passed for Soarin', we still only waited about 15, 20 minutes for, probably less than that for Soarin', 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So that was a benefit, as Soarin' had a very long line. And then we went from there to, I'm trying to think, did Spaceship Earth. he got us a reservation. Now here's where, like, dinner, where can we eat for dinner? The only thing he could get us was the Moroccan pavilion, Morocco, which again, I like Morocco, but everyone can get a reservation in Morocco at any time at Marrakesh.
Yeah. Marrakesh.
So it was like, okay,
it seems fine. A little weird that he couldn't, that even with the guide, you couldn't work some magic.
Right. And
yeah, where's the magic?
Yeah. And then, so then he did, we do fast pass on to, we were going to do, we're going to do Test Track, and we actually decided, hey, let's not do Test Track. Let's move on to Frozen. We did Frozen. We ate dinner, and that was it. I'm trying to think if there's something else at Epcot we did. I feel like I'm missing something. Oh, we met Mickey. We did the meet and greet, the character spot with Mickey, Minnie, and Goofy.
Is that the one up at the front of Epcot?
It's like in between Future World, and it's kind of in that little, like,
next to Starbucks there. In,
right.
Yeah, further kind of midway. Near the midway
Coke, past. World of Coke kinda, thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's one side is Mickey, one side is Baymax and Inside Out characters. Again, we did Fast Pass for that. 10, 15 minutes. Maybe a little longer. And by that point, we're all getting exhausted. Probably 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. We say, all right, let's go do Frozen's, because no one had done Frozen. We did Frozen. We ate at Marrakesh. And we called it a day. He picked us up. Now, he picked up right at the Japan Pavilion. He moved the car, and he drove us right back to the Art of Animation. And the transportation part was really solid. It was really, really well done, and that was a huge perk. But the fact that I did a VIP tour, only went to 2 parks, only did really, you know, not that many attractions.
And on top of that, it's an hourly fee. Right. Like, if it
plus a tip.
Right, but I'm saying if it were a flat rate for the day, and it's like, you can keep going as long as you want until the parks close. But no, it's you're paying for waiting still.
Or even like, hey, we were at dinner and it was an extra hour.
Right. Yeah, yeah. When you said like you didn't know to pick your food items in advance either. Right. Like that's time that you've, or dinner.
It felt like a lot of time wasted. Yeah. And though our tour guide, I am fully convinced he did everything within his means. And I really liked him a lot.
Yeah, you said nothing but good things
about. His means were not enough. Not enough to justify this cost. I cannot imagine another time I would do the VIP tour. The only benefit I really felt was the transportation, which was awesome, but and they got us in to be our guest. Other than that, it was negligible. Now, I've heard great reviews from people, and I think it's just because due to the fact that we went during a crazy time. Well, they should know that's why I want to book a tour.
Right.
And I feel like it's way different at Disneyland. And maybe it's just because they're used to the clientele out there, because there's a high celebrity population. So they're used to Disneyland. I mean, they'll get you in Club 33 half the time.
Disneyland got us into Club 33. It was split during the, I'd say there was about half the attractions we were fast passed at Disneyland. We did it about maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Half the time was that, and then half was just like Radiator Springs Racers walked us right to the front door. So Disneyland is a little bit different. They're definitely more restricted to Disney World, and they maybe are now at Disneyland. I'm not sure. But I was, after hearing so many great reviews, I was expecting the next level of service. And here I say, the people you talk to on the phone and through email were clearly Disney's top-notch VIP concierge people that were phenomenal. I thought they were all great. It was just the experience didn't meet what I wanted. I wanted to be able to knock out 3 or 4 parks in my allotted time. And if not, and I still went 2 hours over. And it's not like I called it the minimum of 7.
So you went 9 hours and rode 8 rides?
Probably something like that. And met some characters and had 2 meals. And so again, you look at that in a big picture in 2 parks, you're like, no, that's not that bad. It's like, yeah, but you didn't pay $400 an hour for that.
Right.
And that's by the way, that's it. That's during discount season. That's not during peak season. This was the cheapest option.
Oh, so the
it goes prices. it goes up to $700 an hour or more. I'm not sure exactly. It says on the
now
website.
You were probably peak season crowds.
Peaks. It's a problem. It was like peak season crowds for discount season pricing.
And I happened to decide to go over there randomly. I had my mother-in-law with me, and so we decided to go a day. And what was interesting is the school calendar flowed a little differently this year. People had longer off. The marathon was there. But also, with the time we were there, coincided with the end of college program for a huge population of
passengers. A lot of people were saying goodbye while we were doing that. He was doing that while we were doing
the tour. Yeah, so that meant there was a lot of cast members in the parks working their last day, which, I mean, because I got every dining reservation. We were there for a day and a half. And everywhere I wanted to eat, I got right in at prime times with no issues.
Oh, our tour guide said other than Frozen, he could have gotten us a fast pass just traditionally to anywhere, including Soarin'. So it was kind of like, all right, well, thank you.
You almost wish you hadn't told me that.
Yeah. Okay, so to wrap that up, I would consider doing this again if I had my whole family and more people. And it was during a time that I knew it wasn't just insane. Because I do feel like the transportation, if you could use it at the right time, could be hugely, hugely
early February.
And you did it because you literally had one day to go to Disney.
And I don't feel like I got the value out of it. I would have rather had a pleasant half day at the Magic Kingdom than a full day that was exhausting. And we accomplished a lot for having the kids. More than we typically do, for sure. Financially worth it? Probably not. I would say that it's not worth the value and it's very tempting because look, $400 an hour is a ton. But like when you look at it and you're like, okay, it's like $2,500, like $2,700 if we could do it and we could really like go see everything. Is it worth, you know, and you're breaking it up over 10 people. You start doing the math. It doesn't end up being, it's like staying in one of the All-Star houses or one of the houses in Reunion. It's more expensive than a Disney hotel, but you also can sleep 30. Right. You know, it's like, oh, we can get everything done. We couldn't get everything done. We couldn't even get half the stuff done. And we could have gone another 4 hours. We could have gone until midnight. But who can really do that? Who can do 9 to midnight with kids? And honestly, just, I mean, that's exhausting. And you could tell even our tour guide, who's
Logan,
very nice.
Logan can do it if there's Halloween Horror Nights involved.
That was different. And that, I guess, will... So that was that first day we did Disney, and the transportation.
He wouldn't put his kids through that torture, but he would put me through that torture.
That's fine. You're an adult. You can handle it. So for Disney, I would say the only value to that is the transportation, and if you go during a time where you know fast pass lines won't be long. If that's the truth, then I think you could get a lot out of it, a whole lot. But without it, I would pass. I think it's not worth it. It's the only benefit is... You don't ride the monorail. You don't have to do any Disney transportation or parking. And that's a big benefit. Is it thousands of dollars worth of benefit? No, it is not. Again, and then on top of that, you are expected to tip. So, and it was a little hard to figure out what you tip.
Yeah, because that's not like something like, oh, you Google, how much do I tip the shoeshine man?
Well, you look how much you tip. And some people are like, I tipped $100. Some people are like, I tipped $600.
That's what I mean. Like,
so because you pay, if you're doing 20%, it's 20% of a couple grand. Like, it starts to add up. It's like, what do you do? So, I mean, I think I gave him a decent amount of money because it just, one, he did a great job. He really did for us within his means. It just wasn't, it wasn't enough. Even if, because he said, he's like, the backdoor thing is popular, but we can't do it. He's like, but if we could, he's like, sometimes it's actually slower. I'm like, it ain't slower than this. I've done it before when we've done production. It's not slower than this. Also, I can handle waiting an extra minute quietly in an area where I'm not slammed in a fast pass line with a billion people and at least be treated a little bit better. So,
and I do find this interesting because when we were,
he could have gotten his parade and firework viewing areas as well. And we had to cancel our parade because we were running out of time.
Disney's unveiling a lot of VIP add-on.
We even
joked on, by the way, mine did sort of come true with the
Animal Kingdom.
I can't confirm if they were doing Simbit years or not. I almost did it. And it was like $170. I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that Disney is trying to find out what their audience wants, I think. They're trying to find these little things because it's obvious that time is money when you're at Disney. Mm-hmm. That, you know, when you're paying
literally
hundreds,
can be $400
an hour. But, you know, not everybody, you know, I know friends that will literally go down there for 10 days on a regular occurrence. And when my wife and I go, we're a day two, three, four, maybe most of the time we're doing something else and coming over.
You may be day two, three, four, just 17 times
that's a year.
continue on.
Yeah. All right. So should we talk about the Universal VIP tour experience?
I mean, we've already riled people up. Might as well.
Okay, so
wind Logan up and let him go.
So, So our tour guide is a guy I know, actually, and he came to our events. Dustin, who you know, it's character
Big
queen.
Big,
huge Disney fan. And he actually says that. He works there and plays at Disney. And he is a he's worked on most of the major theme parks. He's worked for Disney Universal, Busch Gardens. Bunch of, I would say, if you're going to book a Universal VIP tour, and he's going to be doing RIP tours as well. And we had a great RIP tour guide, I have to say, when we did Horror Nights.
We did.
Megan, yes. Who I she saw again. She was great. I requested Dustin this time because we know him, and I wanted to, you know, he hadn't had a private tour, I don't think, yet, and want to experience that. He did a great job. If you're going to do it, I'd suggest it. Now, Universal's I actually booked first. And here's something that is interesting about Universal and Disney, is you actually have a full refund cancellation window up until 2 days before, where you can just say, I'm out, and they give you your money back completely.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. So, like, we had a call because we were down there for some, you know, like I said, personal stuff. And we're like, all right, should we go ahead and cancel it on Monday? Like, we didn't. And we ended up going because we could have had till Monday night to book to cancel our tour for Thursday. Fully refundable. And it would have been great. Universal, they don't do, obviously, the picking you up, any of that. That stuff, their version of that is you get free valet parking. Which valet parking at Universal, if you haven't done, it's like $25, I think, plus a tip. It's actually a great, one of their good, really good offers.
They're very fast, too.
Fast. The security point is right there. And now security is crazy at Universal. You go through airport-style security, including a valet. They've added that, including coming from all the hotels. So you do go through a security line. But then once you're in, you're in. And that line is maybe, it maybe took us under 3 or 4 minutes. It was not long. Got everybody through.
I do love the once you've entered the circle of Universal, it's over with.
It's over. Yeah, you are no longer having to go through any more security to go to any parks, restaurants, whatever. That being said, so we walk up to the VIP tour kiosk. They have like a special door at USF at Universal Studios Florida where we meet Dustin, our tour guide, and they give you a free continental breakfast. And, you know, it's like pastries and juices and milk. And your tour guide actually sits down with you at a table and says, what do you want to do today? And let's talk about some options. And for about 15, 20 minutes, you go through what you want to do.
Kind of plan it out.
Yeah. He brought over like the stick of what Riker could ride and checked his height to make sure we didn't, you know, give him any false expectations. And
also, that's kind of genius.
Yeah.
Because then instead of being like, let's go ride Spider-Man, and right. Then he gets there and can't. Oh, sorry, just ruined the day for your child.
Right. Now, it was a flat rate of... Now, flat rate plus, and it was, I think, $3,100 plus tickets.
Right.
So, and they didn't comp any tickets. Universal didn't do that. So, $3,100, only 5 people. So, I ended up paying a little bit more for the 7 people that were on our tour. And the big difference, well, there are a couple of things. So, dining, you get all your meals included, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Okay. Also not
for everyone in your group. So, and they set up where you want to eat. Here's your options. You eat these 2 places in City Walk. You can eat at Mythos. You can eat at Finnegan's. Oh, we also
you can eat
have
at Mythos.
Yeah. Also, we have a VIP restaurant that's only open for people that are on tours. And it's where we went to
say what?
It's where we went in Horror Nights to that
little
La Bamba thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, we didn't know what that was. That is an open, fully staffed restaurant, buffet style restaurant that's only for people on tours. They take they take the best entrees, the most popular entrees from each restaurant. And they bring it there and they lay it out for you.
Want to go?
Again, no paying, no tip, everything. They don't even bring you a check. And so he said, I suggest you eat there. And I was like, yeah, sure. And again, you have to go through like the velvet ropes when you get there. Yeah. Really nice. Set us up. The fact that they cater differently. It is instead of transportation. Yes, that's a great, huge perk. There's our exclusivity. You have a restaurant that is just for people on the tour. That is definitely a step up in food quality and because you're getting the best stuff from everywhere and in staffing.
Yeah.
You have a tour guide who is able to do things like, oh, what characters do you want to meet? We want to meet Spider-Man. We want to meet Bumblebee. We want to meet, we want to do the Jurassic Park Raptor encounter. Okay. He calls. He has a cell phone. He's texting. All right. We're meeting Bumblebee at 12 o'clock. We're going over here. We're going to do the Raptor at 5 and we're going to do Spider-Man whenever we arrive. They know we're coming. So they set up these private times for the meet and greets. No, wait.
So literally, special.
And he's like, does he want to meet Optimus? Yes, he wants to meet Optimus also. Okay, he's like, so go at the very end of Optimus. So Optimus, the gates, you know, if you've been to Universal, every 20 minutes it rotates between Bumblebee, Optimus, and Megatron. And Riker did not want to see Megatron. He was very clear. So we went a time where it went Optimus to Bumblebee. Uh-huh. Optimus So we're standing there waiting for Bumblebee. It wasn't like a formal photo op with Optimus, but he like went down, like grabbed Riker, kind of said, like, it's an honor to meet you, brave citizen. Thank you. There are Decepticons in the area. Gotta go. So he met him, and then Bumblebee showed up.
That's awesome.
And they put us right in the front of the line. That's the big difference. There were no waits. Zero waits for Universal at any attraction. You were backdoored or right, taking to the front of the car at every attraction. If you wanted to stay on a ride and keep going, you could. Their baby swap was excellent, where every major Universal attraction has a full baby swap area with changing table, a themed room, usually a TV playing cartoons that are related to the ride.
At Disney, Disney does baby swap, and they
sometimes
Universal
they do. Sometimes they don't.
Showing them up. Because at Disney, it's like, hey, stand over here in the corner at Big Thunder Mountain.
Right.
You know, at Universal, it's like, oh, here's a room. There's a lounge.
There's cartoons playing. Your kids will like it.
There's a bellman.
And with that VIP tour guide, you're talking about your kids waiting in those rooms for 4 minutes. Because it's enough for you to say, all right, you stay here with somebody. They take you on the ride. You swap because there's no lines. Does it ruin some of the magic? Yes. Universal, they don't care about you seeing everything. We were taken through the bowels of the Harry Potter areas.
Because Universal isn't about the magic in the same sense.
And I liked that. So you got to see everything backstage. They would have taken us into sound stages. But even like Gringotts, where, you know, Gringotts is that crazy long line.
Yeah.
Even if you're not riding, it's...
You still walk a long time. It's
long.
Cool.
It's interactive. There's like three... He's like, do you want to see that? I said, no. Show them just the main atrium. They walk in. They saw the atrium. Okay, turn around. And legitimately walked us through a door randomly in the back up to the front of the cars. We went through it. The Mummy, we were able to walk under... Riker couldn't ride the Mummy, but he was able to walk underneath the Mummy, see the roller coaster going over his head while fire was being blown out, and heard Brendan Fraser's, you know, give me my cup of coffee.
Those are completely, like... unique opportunities.
Yeah,
that
and some you can get them if you're not on the VIP tour, if you know what to ask for, but this is guaranteed.
Right.
Same thing with Terry and I did it before, the immigration tour at Men in Black, where they take you down to the bottom to see the aliens, take pictures and all of that. And there was, you know, so we got to do that, and Riker got to ride Men in Black as well, because he was the height. Because I don't want to spend too much time at Universal, money-wise, what would be a stinking blast is if you did an adult only Universal VIP tour.
Right.
With kids, we still were able to do most of the stuff we wanted. I'd say it was a little bit more limited, and time was a little bit more. It was 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock was our tour, and that was the end. And we went 10 to 5 and actually cut it early because we'd gotten done most of what we wanted to do, and we were all getting kind of beat. We didn't do Kong. Kong broke down, and he's given a phone every time when something breaks down. They call him. They are constantly in touch with the staff. All right, Wolverine's going to be over here if you want to get a quick thing. Okay, if you want to do characters. We walked right up to the Seuss thing and all the characters were there. And the longest wait was maybe, and I would say wait isn't like, not including like, all right, we're just waiting for the ride cart to return. Like, you can't help that. Like, you're literally standing there, the next person to ride Gringotts. And it's like, okay, you got to wait a couple minutes. But the only it was for Redfish, Twofish, Onefish, Bluefish. And that was just because we got like put in sort of a back area. With a little bit of, you should get through the show once, you know?
Right.
So it just took a little bit of time, or twice, I think. Still no waits, right up. And it was just a different thing. You are paying at Universal. And the thing is, Dustin, who is a great tour guide, said if you were on like the non-private tour, you still would see everything. And he'd give like a spiel. This was more, what do you want to do? We're going to do it.
Yeah.
It wasn't all about spieling and telling you stories. He would throw in tidbits and all that for fun. This was more streamlined. And really, really well done. And again, we didn't even use our free dinner, if I'm being honest. Like, we were too tired.
Yeah.
And it...
Did you eat at the restaurant?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And it's over at Cafe La Bamba. It's over in kind of the Garden of Allah areas. Actually pretty significantly before that. Yeah. In Universal Studios, Florida. And it was great, man. It was a really good experience. I could see totally it being worth it if you're going with a bunch of adults or teens and adults, because when they can do all the rides, like when Riker can do the Hulk and all those things, and we can say, let's do the Hulk 3 times in a row, that will be awesome. And I could totally see the value in it. And I would say that'd be the big difference. If Disney could just speed up the ride time, I would say, yes, do it. If you can do it, if you can afford it, if you want to do it once, do it. But because you don't really save any time with Disney or any really stress other than the entrance and exit, Universal, you still have the same entrance and exit. Your just experience there is a lot better. And I'd say, like, it's a different thing of like, hey, our tour guide be great. When it was time to park a stroller, he parked all the strollers for us. Yeah. Universal didn't do that. Universal, I'd park a stroller. But, I mean, again, it's a give and take. But I would say, hey, Brandon, who works at Disney, if you want a VIP tour, he's a great guy, did a great job. Dustin is awesome, and I cannot recommend these guys more for VIP tours. It's just whether you think it's worth the experience. I would say yes to Disney, yes to Universal again, especially with a bigger group. I would probably say no to Disney unless they change some of the, unless they're during a quiet time or they change some of the policies. That's just my thoughts. I mean, again, we did a back to back. I was able to kind of weigh the pros and cons. It'll probably be different with different age kids. It's just how it was. Universal just had more control. Your tour guide had the control. He could say, call them up. We want to do the Raptor at 5. All right, we'll be back at 5. Boom, we walk up and it's time. He could get us on every ride. And that alone was enough to say, yes, that was a blast. Yeah, so any other questions, thoughts, concerns?
I think that's it. I think
it's a lot of money.
I think the concerns are people are going to think that we're switching this to a Universal show.
No, because I would say this, is that the tour portion of it were equally great.
Yeah.
And the travel side is great with Disney, but it just didn't – look, I paid for both of them, you know, real hard cash, and I wanted to come back and say they were both amazing. I just didn't have the experience I necessarily wanted at Disney when it came to the lines. I did, and the exclusivity.
Right, because when you hear VIP tour
– private VIP tour.
What do you think? You think I'm getting taken in front of the lines. Like, honestly, that is the first thing you think.
That's your first park you think of.
And if it's not that, then it's no matter who you are, there's going to be an element of disappointment.
Yeah. And they tell you ahead of time, like, it's for Fastpass Plus attractions. But then my thought was, okay, that's just because those are the big ones, so you can get taken to the front. No. Or that's just what they say. Because that's what they said at Disneyland. But then they still took you to the front.
Yeah.
And it's a little strange that at Disneyland, they can find a way to get you in Club 33, but at Disney World, all they could figure out at Epcot was
Marrakesh.
And we said, we'll eat wherever. So I mean, that was probably, if I had said, here's what we want to eat, they may have been able to figure it out. But
you're also not taking twin babies into La Cellier.
Right. So, and really taking them into Marrakesh was a little strange as well, just because food.
It's also, it's like, hey,
food options.
When you grow up, if you want to be a belly dancer, here's where you can start.
I've told that story before about my niece who, when she was a kid, went there, saw the belly dancer, and then they asked her at church preschool, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And, like, had them all write it out and draw a picture. And they went through, and her said, I want to be a belly dancer.
Uncle Logan. Uh-huh. I'll win.
So it was an interesting experience. I don't know if I'd do either, like, immediately again, but with the right crew, I would do Universal. I don't think there's a crew that would be great for Disney. And I've heard the non-private one at Universal and Disney both are great. Also, and maybe you have more exclusivity actually with the non-private tour at Disney because they know they have to hit certain things and have to do that. But I don't know. All right, guys. Well, I think that's do it. We're going to take a week off from listener questions with Lynn this week. Give him New Year. Happy New Year. Hope you guys, if you have any questions about VIP tour, feel free to ask me because I just did them and it's fresh in my mind. So any other questions, comments, concerned?
I think we're good.
All right. That's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And we'll see you on the next show. The last year.